You know what time it is?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's another edition of Fit Talk Radio with your hosts, Maria and Jim Wells. Brought to you by Destiny Fitness, It Nicks, Leonardsville Fitness, Valvasta Bike Store, Crunch Fitness, and Anytime Fitness Tipton Douglas. Now, here's Maria and Jim on News Talk 105.9 WVGA.
Hello and welcome to Fit Talk. I'm Maria.
And I'm Jim.
And Jim, it has been a long time since we've been here in the studio.
That's right, and you may have tuned in a Thursday or two and picked up Lowndes County High School baseball, and they were on their way to a state championship.
And, Jim, they won that state championship.
So congratulations to the Vikings baseball.
Congratulations to the Vikings baseball. Of course, that's Christian's alma mater, our oldest son, and he was very, very excited about them winning that state championship.
He absolutely was.
And he was the catcher back in 2008 and 2007 and 2006, I believe, there at Lowndes County. So we were very, very proud of them. But, Jim, we've been on the road. It's not, we haven't been in the studio, but we have been on social media and we have been traveling. Tell them where all we've been, Jim.
Oh, we've been traveling. That's right. We went south, then we went south again, then we went north. So, yeah, so Panama City, Florida, Daytona Beach, Florida, we were southwest of Atlanta, Noonan, southwest of Atlanta, Noonan, Georgia.
And, of course, we're following the bodybuilding shows. The Iron Life was in Daytona Beach. The Riptide Classic was in Panama City. And then Sydney Gillian, who is a Miss Olympia, figure Olympia, had her big show up in Noonan where we were last weekend.
Right, so three great shows, just bam, bam, bam for us.
And, of course, we were there promoting our show, NPC Night of the Gladiators, coming up August the 26th in Tifton, Georgia at the UGA Conference Center. So, Jim, I'm so excited. We are 12 weeks out from that show. Can you believe it?
Oh, it'll be here before you know it.
It will certainly be here before you know it. And we're making preparations. It is going to be an awesome show. We have got some great new vendors and sponsors that are coming on board. It's going to be a red carpet event, and it's going to be an event to remember. You know, even if you're never came to bodybuilding before or you're not that interested, come. Great big health and fitness expo. It's free and open to the public. And then if you want to come in and see the bodybuilding show, then you'll have to buy a ticket. But if you don't, just the fitness expo will be something to see. And then, of course, the show itself, the night show on Saturday, the big show is going to be a red carpet event, something to see. You can walk the red carpet, get your picture made, and they can come and meet the world's oldest competing bodybuilder, Miss Iris Davis, 80 years young, Jim.
Right, and not only is she a bodybuilder, but she is just a strong, athletic lady. So, you know, it's not all about just flexing and posing with her. You know, she can do some amazing things in the weight room, and if you haven't seeing any of her videos, some of the things that she does, I think you'll be amazed.
She is just a hoot, and she can do anything. She can do the rings like a gymnast. She can do pull-ups. She can do push-ups, and she can lift those weights. And she's very excited about coming to South Georgia. And we may have a little surprise. I'm going to give you a little leader out there and just tease you a little bit. Up and coming, we may have a surprise that's going to happen at the show.
Right, and not at liberty to give all the details, but, you know, there could be involvement from a TV show that you've all heard of, you're all familiar with, and we're hoping they'll be there. They actually reached out to you, called you on the telephone to get some details, and, you know, again, a very, very familiar name, but more on that later as it develops.
That's right, and all because they want to cover Miss Iris Davis, the 80-year-old.
Yeah, the producers have an interest in senior athletes, and in particular, Miss Iris.
So we're excited about that, and we will keep everyone posted on that event. But June is Men's Health Month, Jim. Did you know that?
I did not.
And I'm going to start working on you, getting you to the doctor and getting you on all kind of medicine. And
good luck with that.
Good luck with that, yeah. You're right with that. He will hardly even take a Tylenol.
Can I just eat an apple instead?
I don't think that apple's going to help that shoulder any, Jim, that's giving you a little trouble. But, you know, we do have aches and pains as we get older, you know. And, you know, this is leading right into our guest today. And he is no stranger to South Georgia and certainly no stranger to Tifton, Georgia. I've known this person since he was a child. And I told his wife I didn't change his diapers, but, you know, I probably could have if, at the nursery at church, but I didn't. But, you know, he is – now, he's not as old as us, but he has done something really, really incredible. And that's why he's here on Fit Talk tonight.
That's right. And he has completed a very impressive feat.
He certainly has. At middle age, and he said that himself. I didn't call him middle age, but he called himself middle age. And so, of course, I'm talking about Michael Delk. If you follow us on Facebook or Instagram, you know, I posted about him being here today. Michael Delk he completed an Ironman competition in Texas, Georgia, and Texas, in the state of Texas. And we are going to be talking to him right here in Valdosta, Georgia, about how this happened to him. And not only that, but his lovely wife, Lisa, they've got an incredible story, Jim. I mean, it's crazy the way this brought them together. And this was a new development. So I can't wait for them to tell all of our listeners about everything that happened. So we welcome Michael Delk. Say hello, Michael.
Hello.
And Lisa, say hello.
Hello.
And we're looking forward to hearing y'all's story just shortly. And we're going to bring y'all on camera in just a little while. But thank y'all both for being here.
Absolutely.
What else we got, Jim?
You tell me.
Well, we've as we progress on, we are just very, very excited about our MPC show. Mike, thank you for being here tonight. We've missed you. You know, thanks for jumping in here with us once again. And Mike is going to be our DJ at MPC Night of the Gladiator. So we're dragging him all the way from Valdosta, Georgia, all the way to Tifton.
Looking forward to that.
Can't wait for the ride. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. It is going to be fun. Well, we will take a commercial break, and then we'll be right back, and we'll be talking to the Delks, Mike and Lisa Delk. We're going to find out how he completed this Ironman competition. How hard was it, Jim? How did he get started? And what did his family think about all this that he was doing in his middle age? So we'll be right back after this commercial break. This is 105.9 WVGA Fit Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jessica Johnson, president of Destiny Fitness. As the end of the year approaches, it is time to dial it in and keep those holiday pounds at bay. Destiny Fitness is your destination for health and fitness. With 24-hour access, amazing customer service, and the cleanest gyms across Central Georgia, we are here to serve you. Don't know what to do? With group fitness classes and personal trainers, we have the best professionals with the knowledge to set you up with a plan for success. We also carry a wide range of supplements to help speed up your recovery and get the results that you are looking for in no time. Join us at our 11 clubs across Central Georgia, including Cochran, Columbus, Cordele, Eastman, Fitzgerald, Fort Valley, Macon, Moultrie, Perry, Sylvester, and Tifton for only $24.95 a month. We also offer military, police, and student discounts. Come by and let our friendly staff give you a tour and set up your membership today. At Destiny Fitness, your goals are just as important to us as they are to you. Now it's time to take this journey and achieve those goals together.
This is Sean Eikenberry, and my wife Melissa and I own and operate Wintersville Fitness at 1711 Norman Drive in Valdosta. Melissa is an Army veteran and served in Desert Storm. I retired from the Air Force after numerous deployments. We both served our country honorably, and we continue to serve the members of Wintersville Fitness with loyalty and integrity. We are committed to making this community a better place. We keep our money local, and we support a variety of local charities so we can help build a better community for everyone. So stop by at 1711 Norman Drive and see why we were voted the best fitness center in South Georgia 2020. This is Sean Eikenberry, and my wife Melissa and I are the new owners of Valdosta Bike Center and More, located at 1907 Baytree Place in Remerton. We are an authorized Trek dealer, but we also service and repair all types of bicycles. We recently started a pickup and delivery service for a small additional fee. We will pick up your bicycles, service or repair them, and drop them back off, so you don't have to worry about cramming them into the back of your car. We're excited to serve the bicycle community, and we hope that you will stop by and see what we have to offer. Please like and follow us on Facebook to keep up with the additional services we plan to offer. This is Sean Eikenberry, and my wife Melissa and I own and operate FitMix Group Fitness and Personal Training. We have 7 certified personal trainers with varying specialties to make sure you reach your goals. Sports training, military standards, flexibility, mobility, and everything in between. FitMix is a veteran-owned facility located at 3323 Bemis Road, Suite E, and we are the little sister gym to Wintersville Fitness. Contact my wife Melissa for more information at 229-305-6465 or email her at morethanfit@gmail.com. Get more than fit with FitMix.
Now, let's get back to more Fit Talk with Maria and Jim on News Talk 105.9 WVGA.
Hello and welcome back to Fit Talk. I'm Maria.
And I'm Jim.
And once again, we have put Jim over in the corner so that we could bring
Misbehaving again,
sitting in the corner, and so that we can bring on Lisa and Michael Dell. Welcome to Fit Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Get up real close.
Okay.
There you go. Lisa, lean on in here so that you can say hello to everybody. I heard a great story a while ago about all this, and we're going to talk about it in just a moment here. So be getting your thoughts together on that. Let me say hello to Charlie Mizell. Thank you for joining us today. Dennis Shepherd, thank you for joining us. Let's see who else is here today. Ashley Williams, Michael's here with us. I think there was a couple other people that were, Christy Cottle, thank you for joining us. Really, Bill, thank you for saying that about Christian. Christian was a pretty good catcher and hitter back in the day. He certainly was. He has missed the sport of baseball immensely. But thank you, Bill, for saying those kind words about my child. Michael, I mean, I've known you your whole life, and the word athlete I have never associated with you, you know, because that was not something that you actually did. Tell me how in the world you go from not really being an athlete to being the ultimate athlete.
That'd be tough to sum up. I would say it would stem back to just, all right, literally sitting in my shop one day and leaning over to tie a pair of shoes and grunting when I leaned over to tie my pair of shoes. And I knew then that I needed to make a change, and I think I walked back into the house and told you that day. That was the turning point for me. So I made a pact to go. I think I started running first because my bike had sat in the shop, a brand new bike for like 2 years that I had not rode, collecting dust. And I went out and run my first mile. And I remember running. I said, well, if you can get beyond 1 mile, then we're on the right track. And I went to run that mile that day, and I couldn't even run a mile without stopping. And that was confirmation that I needed to, like, make the change for the better.
Wow. Jim, I don't know that we could run a quarter of a mile.
Maybe if you put a pork chop at the finish line, I might make it.
We're not runners, Michael. We're not runners. We're not swimmers. You know, we're not – we ride bikes leisurely, you know, like at Jekyll or the beach or whatever, you know. I mean, but you just did an Ironman. I mean, that is an ultimate test of cardiovascular strength, muscular strength. What else, Jim? Everything. I
mean, all of it.
All of it. I mean, you're
endurance, yeah. Stamina.
Stamina. I mean, muscle endurance. Cardio endurance. I mean, mental endurance. Mm-hmm. What does it take mentally? I mean, Jim, I just cannot even fathom. You know, I mean, I would get winded swimming a lap across the pool, you know. I mean, I just don't know mentally what did you have to go through, Michael?
Mentally, I think, comes later in the later stages, like once you're into training, months in training. I don't think initially. I think once you get your feet wet and you make the commitment to, like, okay, I'm going to take on a full Ironman, I think on the front side, it's still somewhat surreal, and it's like a goal that seems somewhat unobtainable. And as your training progresses, you start seeing, okay, well, that wasn't as bad as the last time. And all of a sudden, months later, you find yourself, you know, for instance, a 5 to 6 hour bike ride. And they're not necessarily easy, but you start finding more comfort in those, or a 3-4 hour run, and then all of a sudden you start seeing the progression and all the work and the training that you trusted, and then, you know.
You have to trust the process. I mean, that's what they say in bodybuilding. Trust the process.
How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
That was my motto from day one, and that's the way I approached it every day when the sun rose. And going back to this, in all of my training when I started, I missed not one day of training from week one to my race day. I went through 2 sinus infections. One was pretty rough. I had, like, it set in my chest, breathing treatments, the whole nine, like 3 times a day.
Still running?
Absolutely. Swimming, riding. And it was a suffer fest now. But I didn't allow that to be an excuse as an easier way out. Like, okay, I'm not feeling good today, so let's just, you know, revert back to being sick as an excuse. Or, and I also fractured a rib. I was running out of the house one day in a hurry and hit the corner of the metal door and ended up having to go to the hospital. And it messed my swimming up for weeks, but I got beyond it.
Mm. Wow. And Jim, I have an ingrown toenail, so I can't go to the gym.
Well, I lost. Hey,
you say you can't do any more housework, right?
You lost some toenails too. Well, I know that's common for runners.
Yeah,
it's common for runners. Yeah. I mean, let's backtrack just a little bit because you know you did a half Ironman. You told me a while back, but I mean it has been a while back.
2013.
Okay, so 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of had a little bit of it, but that is when, this was the story, that's when you met your wife, during that time, 10 years ago. Tell us about that. Lisa, you and Mike, tell us about that, how that came to be.
Okay.
Sure.
So,
get right in here.
Well, I've actually known Michael my whole life. I think we actually went to the same, I don't even know if we're in the same class, but same preschool, kindergarten together. So I've known him my whole life, and I actually worked with his sister, known his family my whole life. But I happened to see a post the night before, I think it was, that he had put up, where he was kind of talking about just the anxiety and the nerves that he had at that time going into that half Ironman. And so I decided, like, follow him the next day. I was like, well, I'm going to follow him and just encourage him, you know, because, I mean, he seemed like he was nervous but ready.
You weren't stalking him. You was just following him on social media.
No, I was not stalking him.
She was stalking him. Definitely stalking.
I was not stalking. Yeah. I was single at the time, of course, but I was not stalking. But I decided I'd just follow him, encourage him, because at that time, you know, I was doing a lot of running and competing in 5Ks, nothing like an Ironman, but I was, you know, doing some races and really into that. And so I said, I'm just going to go on there and just encourage him. So I followed him all day and I posted, you know, things of encouragement, like you can do it. And I think his sister told me, and she can correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember correctly, she later told me that she was like yelling it out at him, like, hey, Lisa Walker just posted that, you know, go Michael, you know.
What do you think about that, Michael?
He probably didn't hear her.
At the moment, you were just trying to get there.
But it's kind of neat because really that kind of brought us together, because then after, it wasn't long after that was in October, I think it was like November, he asked me on a date, and the rest is history, as they say. So
wow.
I was very nervous when I went to ask off for this Ironman competition because I never like to take off work. And I remember going to my boss and I just started crying. She said, why are you crying? She said, you never take off. And I said, I'm just nervous because it's 3 days. I'm going to have to take personal days. And it's like the week of testing. And I'm a teacher. So, you know, you just don't take off the week of testing. And I said, but this is so special. This brought us together. I really want to go. And she was like, of course you can go. Oh, my goodness. So, anyways, it's. Made it kind of special this time around.
Absolutely special. I mean, you know, I know how it feels. Michael, Jim stalked me for years too.
Oh yeah. Like a big game hunter.
Watch it. Randy Stokes, I owe you big time. I owe you a lasagna dinner because he wasn't sure you were going to do this for us.
Hey, I wasn't either.
You wasn't either?
You're doing good to get me in here.
Oh, well, listen, we are so honored, and thank you. I want to say hey to Ron Heath, Marlene, good to see you, good to talk to see you there. All these people that are they're weighing in today, Michael. I mean, you're the hometown boy from Tifton, Georgia. You know, and you've done this. I don't know anybody else other than Mike Beeman, who has ran the Boston Marathon. How many times, Jim?
Oh, like 40-something. 40-something. He doesn't even have to qualify anymore.
Right. I mean,
one of the few people in the world doesn't have to qualify. Just show up and run the Boston.
I tell him every chance I get.
Yeah, we do too. We've interviewed him before. And so, you both have accomplished some things that not the average person accomplishes.
Sure.
So, the Ironman 10 years ago, this is how you met. Well, then you've kind of had, you know, you didn't do this for a while because life happened, you said. Mm-hmm. You know, you got married, kids, everything happens in life. Me and Jim know we have a blended family, 6 kids. We've been together 17 years and married 16 years. So, you know, we get it. You know, we understand that things happen. Mm-hmm. So how did you go from life happening, kids, everything to, okay, I'm going to do this full Ironman?
Well, that would go back to Lisa, actually. So I started riding my bike back in August of last year. And that's when I told you I went to run my first mile, and it was just terrible. But I started riding my bike, and I worked up to probably, 250 miles a week. And I started getting bored with it. And I walked in one evening late, and I told Lisa, I said, we need to do something because I'm losing interest. And if you know me, you know that I have to, like, have something to keep me engaged, you know. And I said, we're going to have to sign me up for something. Now, when I said that, I didn't know we were going for a full Ironman. I was thinking, like, maybe another century ride or something, you know. But we ended up on an Ironman because of Lisa. It was actually Lisa's suggestion.
Yeah.
And we sat there on that couch that night late. It must have been like close to midnight. And I don't know if we signed up or registered for Ironman Texas that night or if it was like to come in like the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. But that's where it stemmed from. Like me losing kind of basically just losing interest in the whole cycling thing over the course of a couple of months. And I saw the progression, and I wanted to keep the momentum going, but was losing interest fast or quickly. And her suggestion to sign up for this is what kind of like rekindled the fire.
Right. Well, he had mentioned a couple times over the years that that was kind of like one of those things on his bucket list. Like he did the half, he always wanted to do the full. So I was kind of like, well, you know, Mike, we're not getting any younger. It's time, you know, you've already put all this work in and you might as well let's just go ahead and do it. So we signed up.
So tell the listening audience, what are the three parts of the full Ironman?
So there's three disciplines. And of course, any triathlon, the swim comes first. Then you transition to the bike and then you transition to the run. And going back to distances, the swim is on a full iron distance is a 2.4-mile swim, followed by 112-mile bike, and then a 26.2-mile run, a full marathon. And there's cutoffs. I mean, you know, there's time cutoffs for each, you know, discipline. So, like, you have to be out of the water within 2 hours and 20 minutes on the swim. And I forget what mile of the bike you have to be at X mileage, you know, and same for the run. And then you've got like a total cap on time spent. And I think it's like, what is it, 17 hours, 17 hours and 20 minutes? Mm-hmm. Where basically you have, I think, somebody would correct me if they're watching that knows this, but from the time the last athlete enters the water, I think the clock's running, or basically, when you until you enter the water on a rolling start, your time does not start. So if the pros go out an hour ahead of you, you're not losing an hour technically. You're getting all your 17 hours worth when you do cross the time I'm at, you know, on the start.
Well, what about, you know, little breaks and little snack times? And
well, you get those while you're moving. Okay, there's no time for picnicking in an Ironman.
No time for picnicking in an Ironman. Well, no. Me and Jim definitely will not be doing that. Even in the old people's division, we won't be doing that.
So before you started doing the Ironman, did you have any swimming background?
Only that stemmed from my previous triathlon days, which were 10 plus years ago. So saying that, when I got back into the pool, which would have been, I think I looked back the other week, and my first day back into the pool on this whole Ironman journey from the couch was in October of 22. So from October to current, or April 22nd, was when I literally started my first day of Ironman training to completing. So when I got back into the pool, on whatever, I think it was like the latter part of October, maybe. Don't quote me on that. Got in the pool. I remember vividly, I was in Tifton at the rec department. And I jumped in the pool, and I was like, okay, I know it's going to be a suffer fest for a few weeks, but it'll slowly start coming back. And this doesn't go to say that you even have to have a history. Just get in and start. This is proof right here. Get in the pool. I swam maybe three laps, and I was just totally gassed. I mean, could not breathe, could not even function right, finding my lungs hurting. And that right there told me I needed to, like, really trust the training and focus on the training and how important that would be to carry me to actually finishing and not getting a DNF, you know, in 6 months, basically less than 6 months.
So in less than 6 months you did this?
Mm-hmm, from the couch.
That's just incredible. I mean, that... I hear people that train for these kind of things for years and months and year. I mean, you know, but not 6 months. Well, Lisa, how hard was it living with him trying to do all this?
It wasn't really that bad, because honestly, probably the hardest part was that, like, he had to make his training a priority. So, you know, he did miss some things with the kids, pretty much, which he's great with money. I mean, but pretty much by the time it got to January, where his training was taking, all day, he would literally leave the house at like maybe 5 in the morning, sometimes 4 before I did, and would not get home until after I did, after I've worked all day, taking the kids to all their practices, done all the things. So... you know, that was the hardest part. He pretty much had to quit work for a couple months to be able to do the training, because he was so committed. As a matter of fact, he did, and you didn't tell them this, he did more than the training plan, which we'll go back to the mental part, which we can come back to. But he said mentally he had to do it before he got there. And he had to know going into it that he could do it. So he actually did more than what the training plan asked him to do, because he wanted to be that confident, you know, that he could compete it. But, I mean, it was tough. It was kind of like, you know, I had to kind of do all the things. And normally
running
he cooks.
Running the kids around.
Normally he cooks. He's the cook in the family. And that was hard. So there's a lot of pizza and takeout.
Well, and
I cook a little bit, but not as much as him.
And the whole shift, you know, from you go to, like, just trashy eating habits for 10 years, then you make this life change commitment. You can't keep eating fried chicken every day, you know, and doing what you want. There comes a lot of self-discipline, you know, in other areas that people don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And the food portion of that, the self-accountability, everything is like, I don't know if you put it on one of those pie diagrams, but I think it would all be very equally proportioned on, like, you know, what you have to take from each to make it all come together as a whole.
Well, I mean, this is incredible to me, Jim.
It is. It's so interesting to listen to the whole process.
The whole process. We're going to take a commercial break right now here in just a second, and then we're going to come back and talk more about the mental aspect and how do you get your mind right. I mean, you know, Jim and I said we're going to And we try to eat pretty good, and we do, obviously. But, you know, we like to eat pizza every now and then, and we like to, you know, we like our little fried chicken, you know, every once in a while, too. So, you know, that'd be pretty tough for us, I think. Although Jim's probably a little bit better than me because he's recently competed in bodybuilding, and that diet is very strict, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got a lot more discipline than me, I think. But we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to talk about the mental part of this, and we'll bring Jim over here to help talk with y'all about that. So this is 105.9 WVGA, Fit Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jessica Johnson, president of Destiny Fitness. As the end of the year approaches, it is time to dial it in and keep those holiday pounds at bay. Destiny Fitness is your destination for health and fitness. With 24-hour access, amazing customer service, and the cleanest gyms across Central Georgia, we are here to serve you. Don't know what to do? With group fitness classes and personal trainers, we have the best professionals with the knowledge to set you up with a plan for success. We also carry a wide range of supplements to help speed up your recovery and get the results that you are looking for in no time. Join us at our 11 clubs across Central Georgia, including Cochran, Columbus, Cordial, Eastman, Fitzgerald, Fort Valley, Macon, Moultrie, Perry, Sylvester, and Tifton for only $24.95 a month. We also offer military, police, and student discounts. Come by and let our friendly staff give you a tour and set up your membership today. At Destiny Fitness, your goals are just as important to us as they are to you. Now it's time to take this journey and achieve those goals together.
This is Sean Eikenberry, and my wife Melissa and I own and operate Wintersville Fitness at 1711 Norman Drive in Valdosta. Melissa is an Army veteran and served in Desert Storm. I retired from the Air Force after numerous deployments. We both served our country honorably, and we continue to serve the members of Wintersville Fitness with loyalty and integrity. We are committed to making this community a better place. We keep our money local, and we support a variety of local charities so we can help build a better community for everyone. So stop by at 1711 Norman Drive and see why we were voted the best fitness center in South Georgia 2020. This is Sean Eikenberry, and my wife Melissa and I are the new owners of Valdosta Bike Center and More, located at 1907 Baytree Place in Remerton. We are an authorized Trek dealer, but we also service and repair all types of bicycles. We recently started a pickup and delivery service for a small additional fee. We will pick up your bicycles, service or repair them, and drop them back off, so you don't have to worry about cramming them into the back of your car. We're excited to serve the bicycle community, and we hope that you will stop by and see what we have to offer. Please like and follow us on Facebook to keep up with the additional services we plan to offer. This is Sean Eikenberry, and my wife Melissa and I own and operate FitMix Group Fitness and Personal Training. We have 7 certified personal trainers with varying specialties to make sure you reach your goals. Sports training, military standards, flexibility, mobility, and everything in between. FitMix is a veteran-owned facility located at 3323 Bemis Road, Suite E, and we are the little sister gym to Wintersville Fitness. Contact my wife Melissa for more information at 229-305-6465 or email her at morethanfit@gmail.com. Get more than fit with FitMix.
Now, let's get back to more Fit Talk with Maria and Jim on News Talk 105.9 WVGA.
Hello and welcome back to Fit Talk. I'm Maria.
And I'm Jim.
And Jim, we have Michael and Lisa Delk here in the studio with us. What a story. I mean, what a great accomplishment that Michael has done here competing in the Ironman out in Texas.
Yeah, he's done something that, you know, very few people have done. When you look at it as far as a percentage of the population, we were actually talking about this earlier, just not many people have experienced this.
Less than 1%.
Well, no wonder when you listen to all the requirements.
Yeah. I mean,
it gets easier.
It gets easier.
Okay. Well, it gets more comfortable. I don't know if it ever gets easier.
But you get more comfortable doing it. So
it becomes more normal.
Well, let's talk about that. So, tell me this. So, when you're training, because obviously you would train before the competition. So, you're out there training, whether you're running or swimming, bicycling, whatever. And, you know, it pops in your head like it always does. Oh, man, you know, this aches or this is starting to get sore. My lungs are burning a little bit or whatever. You know, what do you do to make yourself push through that and keep going?
Well, you focus. For myself, I was like focusing on the day of, like it was kind of like the chase, so to speak. You know, you're after something that, for me personally, seemed somewhat unattainable. And that was always in the forefront of my mind and what made me, like, grind and push hard. Like, I mean, there were days, like, depending on weather, like, if we had inclement weather or rain or 30, 40 degrees, I would get up 2:30 in the mornings, 2:45 some mornings, and go out to the shop and jump on the trainer and go ahead and get my 80 or 100 miles in and not allow the weather to make it an excuse, you know. But going back to the whole, it was always like chasing that day, like the finale, I guess, for me. And that kept me like really engaged, because it never feels like, let me retract that. Some days you think like, okay, I'm ready. But it also goes back to like personal goals. Do you want to go complete an Ironman, or do you want to go see how well you can complete an Ironman? And for me personally, it was more of a, like, when I go out there, I don't want to leave anything laying in Texas when I go. I want to know that I went out and came home and not question that. I kind of sandbagged my training and I just kind of moseyed through it, so to speak, you know.
So you stayed very focused on the goal, on the competition.
Yes.
And of course you realized that performance on that day relies on what you do all these other months leading up to that.
Yes. And, you know, funny you mentioned that. When the day of, when I finished my race, I still didn't get like what most people would call that cloud nine high or whatever. I never got that. I don't know how to explain that, but it was almost like the chase was over, so to speak. And I realized like moments throughout the day of when I was on my bike, because that's the longest portion of your race. You spend hours, however fast you are, less obviously the faster you're pedaling. But you got a lot of time to just think back, and I just lost my train of thought. The chase, for looking back, it was the journey of getting there that I thought, you know, I kind of almost, I was telling Lisa, it was almost a depressing state. I don't know how to explain it, but when you've adapted your life to that for so many months, and that's what you do, 6 guaranteed days a week, and it's a whole life shift for not just you, your family. When, like, you're at your day of your race and you see it coming to an end, it's kind of a downer. It was for me.
Right. I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. Mentally, you focused on this, on that goal, and getting to that mountaintop. And
fulfilling it.
Right, and you got to that mountaintop, and then, so what's next?
Yes.
You know, so I'm asking you today, Michael Delk, what is next? What is next?
Okay. All right. Not many people know. But, so we came back from Texas, and I told you on the phone when you called that day that I still feel like I hadn't, like, accomplished what I set out to. I don't know how to describe that. It's just a personal thing, personal goal. So I told Lisa, I said, we're going to have to sign me up for something else. And I know she was probably cringing when I told her that.
She was probably Were you rolling your eyes, Lisa?
Yeah, I'm sure she did, silently.
She was like, how about some bingo or something?
Take a break from the bike for a while. But I told her, you know, and we talked about doing another Ironman, maybe one in a location that was like, wait, maybe north or out west, you know, in higher elevation, a much harder course, you know. And that still didn't, like, really appeal to me. So we started looking, and I started doing some homework, and I found a double anvil. And for those who don't know what a double anvil is,
have no clue.
It is twice the distance of a full iron distance. And basically, when they start the clock, you have 36 hours to complete it. So it consists of a 4.8-mile swim.
Wow.
Transition out of the swim straight to the bike, 224-mile bike, followed up by 52-point-whatever-mile run. So we hadn't really dropped this publicly, but that's what we're signed up for, providing that my doctor gives me the green light. I mean, I have to get screened, make sure everything's good, but I'm in a good place now, so from a physical standpoint, health wise.
So the race, do the race organizers require a, you know, look, we need to see your physical,
yes,
doctor's physical?
Absolutely. And it's a very, like, what I would label as an intimate race. There's only, like, I think 50 or 60 entries per the whole race. And the reason for that is they assign individual peoples of keeping up with your time splits throughout the day and the whole possible need for medical attention. It's just more high risk, you know.
Well, now, let me ask you this. So have you always been just by nature competitively in general and not necessarily all athletics, but just competitive?
Funny, because I'm actually not a competitive type, mm-hmm, as far as, like, if you stack me up, for instance, beside me and four or five of my buddies on the bikes, like, I don't feel the need to go out there and, like, try to prove myself. For me, my competitiveness comes from, like, it's almost I'm in a competition with myself, because, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and you understand this,
I was
like,
about to say, he competes with himself.
You know, if I find that thing that seems impossible, that's enough for me to be competitive with myself and push harder. Like, for instance, like in training, you have some days, like, and I can go into that if you wish, but like what a basic week would consist of. But on some days, you have intervals, and your intervals, like, just say whether they're run intervals, bike intervals, or pull drills or whatever, they suck. I mean, they're like, they put you in an anaerobic state, your heart rate's just bombed out of the roof, and you're just trying to find the end of them, you know. And on those interval days, I would go out and, you know, just really see what I had in the tank on interval days. And when I'd go back to the house, I was literally dragging feet, you know, back up the driveway type of thing. But, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. I imagine it might be hard, just because of what you do and your training regimen, it might be hard to find a training partner, but do you ever train with someone else, or do you do this by yourself all the time?
Well, yes and no. Yes, I do have somebody. I've got a buddy back in Tifton. He's actually from Adel, and he's half my age almost. And I always pick on him. I say he's actually signed up for Ironman Florida in November, and I, you know, I rag him. I say, hey, if you don't go down there and, like, beat my time by an hour and something, I promise you will not hear the end of it. Period. Because I'm 40 something and you're 20 something, so right, you right, better show up, you know. But I'm kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, but I find comfort and peace in, like, going out there. It's almost like self-meditation time when you get out there on the bike, and you're on the bike 5, 6, 7 hours at a time by yourself. There's a peace that, like, can come over you that you cannot find. Like, for instance, so many mornings, like, leaving the house before sunup and bringing the sun up with you when you're already, like, 20, 30 miles from the house, mm-hmm, it's just very peaceful. I don't know how to explain this, but all of this training's made me a better person and made me, like, open my eyes to, like, what's valuable in life, even if it's just good health, you know. Because when COVID came around forever ago, when everybody was scared to leave the house, I was, like, bedridden for over a month. I mean, couldn't even get up and walk. And I remember saying one day, laying in the bed, I said, Lord, if you will let me get out of this bed, I promise I won't take another step in front of me for granted. And one day I was out riding the bike or running or something, and I remember you kind of lose sight of that sometimes, you know, like every day, mm-hmm, you take things for granted. But I remember I was out, I might have been running or riding, I could have been swimming, and I remembered, like, wow, like a year ago I was wondering if I would live, and now I'm doing this. And that was more like fuel to the fire to, like,
right,
keep pushing and keep grinding and see it through.
Michael, I can definitely feel you on that, because I remember laying in that hospital bed,
yeah,
wondering if I was going to live. And there, towards the last, before the last surgery, I think Jim knew I wasn't sure if I was going to. I didn't know if I was going to make it through. because I've been through so much. And, you know, I have always been physical, you know, been in the fitness industry over 45 years. And so for me not to be able to do anything for almost 2 years, you know, just laying in the bed and in pain and, you know, not knowing what was happening and nobody could tell me what was wrong, you know, and I had pretty much made peace with God, which, you know, I was a Christian. I love the Lord and I wasn't scared. I was not afraid to die. But, you know, and I think Jim thought maybe that I had given up, you know, too. Mm-hmm. But, I said, God, you know, if I'm going to recover from this, and I know that you can heal me. And, you know, so I get that. I get what you're saying. And, you know, and God did heal you. He healed me.
Absolutely.
And I don't think I'm going to be doing an Ironman anytime soon. But as long as I can get to that gym, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, you know, and I can encourage other women who are, you know, mid-60s like myself, you know, and even encourage at least the younger women. You know, younger women than me, you know, don't just stay on the couch. Don't just eat and drink, you know, potato chips and Coca-Colas. Get up and move that body. Mm-hmm. You know,
That's a hard discipline in itself, you know, having enough self-control to, like, compliment the efforts that you're putting in. You know, you can't still eat fried chicken and drink cold beer every day when you're committed to something like that. No matter if they're both good, you still have to... You know, that co-aligns with everything that you're working so hard for. It would almost be like a step back if you weren't, you know, implementing good nutrition.
Well, I'm really envious of you and Jim, because I know my husband has that same mentality that you do. I'm not quite as dedicated, you know, my mind doesn't, you know, I just want what, you know, what tastes good and feels good. You know, I'll go work it off. But that diet, I mean, you know, so my hat's off to you and Jim. I mean, Lisa, I don't know if you have that mentality like Michael or not.
It's been forced on her in the past.
You know, you were talking earlier about how when you were training, you were, and Lisa was telling on you too, you were overtraining or doing more than you actually were scheduled to do. And it sounds like you wanted to make sure that you could go those distances in the swimming, in the bicycling, in the running. And was it, I guess my point is, was fear of failure one of the motivators? You didn't want to get a DNF, did not finish.
Absolutely. And that right there is what made me, like, put my work in. Nobody can make you put that work in. And I saw, and you can ask her, I was like a nervous wreck on the days leading up once we got out to Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're full of all types of emotions. And it's not just like fear of doubt or like the whole I might DNF. It's the anticipation. I mean, you've shifted your life for this, so some of that is just anxiousness, anxiety. But yes, that's most definitely why I overreached. And when I got back into the pool back in October, that was actually my weakest link, or what I considered my weakest link, you know. And I knew that was what I needed to focus on, like, convincing myself that I wouldn't, like, get out there and bonk or anything, or just totally just fail miserably. And just for an example, if I, on my long swim day, if I was supposed to swim, just say 4,300 yards, which is, 4,000 yards, which is a touch over 2 miles, I don't know, 2.25 miles or short of the full distance, I would make it a point to swim 3 miles. And I was like, okay, you're swimming 3 miles comfortably now, so that 2.4 won't seem so hard. And then some days I would push beyond that, same ways with the runs. If they say you go run 15 miles, I would go run 20.
One of the things I've noticed in myself, and I picked up on this, you know, is listening to you talk, but over the years, and I'm going way back, you know, to present, you know, I've done a lot of different kind of competitions, you know, from, you know, as a teenager, whether it was track and field, cross country, you know, basketball, and then over the years, bench press, bodybuilding, whatever it might be. I also have that, you know, of course I want to win.
Yeah.
I want to win, but I certainly don't want to get up there and embarrass myself. I do not want to get up there and people say, what's that guy doing here?
Yeah, no business up here.
Right. So I can remember times getting ready for the NPC
competition. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do my first one until I was 51 years old.
Wow.
And so, of course, you know, there's those thoughts that, hey, you know, some of these guys, I might be up there with guys that have been doing this all their life, since they were 20 or 30, whatever, and here I am 51, that kind of thing. So there were times when, by the time I went to work and then took care of some things at the house or took the car to the garage, whatever needed done, and then go home, have supper, and then it'd be 11 o'clock, and I'd say to Maria, well, I haven't had my workout in. I'm going to the gym.
Yeah.
Jim, it's 11 o'clock, almost 11:30. Why don't you just take a day off? Take it. And, of course, my response would be, I bet my competitors are not taking today off.
Right.
That's my competition's right. Not taking a day off, so I'm not either. You know?
That's it.
And I don't know. Maybe they did take a day off or not. Yeah. But in my mind, that's something that motivates me. My competition's not taking a day off. I'm not either.
Yeah.
You know. So what about the diet? What about and hydration? Tell us about that.
As far as like when you're engaged or just through, you know, the whole course of a regular day.
Starting with the training and then day before competition, morning of competition. What's that like? Because we don't know.
Well,
just briefly.
It's hard to dance around that, and like I would say for myself, as hard as the training was, the nutrition was even harder to dial in over the course. And this is funny when I say this, and we've came back and I have gotten stronger, like in my efforts, like in running and all. My running has greatly improved since we've came back, but I've became more relaxed on my nutrition than I was in training. And it makes me wonder, like, if I was shortcutting myself on all the nutritional stuff that I was doing leading up to. But the typical day of, you know, everybody's different, but there's a standard rule on like how many grams of carbs per hour that you would intake and a total count of calories. And I think for men it's somewhere like 200 to 400 calories per hour and 60 to 80 grams of carbs per hour. But for me, I mean, like one gel pack, you know, these little gel packs you see runners mm-hmm. all take, they're like 30 grams of carbs ish in a gel pack. For me, if I were to take one gel pack on the hour, I'd be doing good. But I'm not a high demand person for like a lot of calories. Like it would have an adverse effect for me and actually make me sick. So,
wow.
Like over the course of my whole day of, I had a pretty solid plan, and then we ate really well. And I was basically carb loading for 2 days. And I was still trying to be very conscientious of what I've ate because, you know, you can't just walk into a fast food joint and eat a burger the day before a race when you haven't ate a burger in 6 months.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But the day of, so like my supplements were all powdered supplements in my fluids, which was Tailwind Nutrition. And I found it way late in my training and wish I'd have found it earlier because it was a great way to take in calories when you didn't want to eat or feel like you could eat. And you always have to hydrate, you know. So you're
right.
Getting electrolytes and carbs through that. And on the bike portion, I think I learned this trick. And for anybody that runs or rides or is athletic in any type of way, Fig Newtons are where it's at.
Fig Newtons.
Who knew?
Fig Newtons.
Fig Newtons are equivalent to any gel pack, basically, you can find on a shelf somewhere. And that's good to know. Because, and Lisa will definitely second this, that nutritional stuff can, like, send you into bankruptcy if you let it. I mean, you go down the rabbit hole of foods and supplements and all that.
We understand that being in the bodybuilding world.
And all of a sudden, you start just naturally looking for other ways that can be as beneficial so you're not just breaking the bank doing it. And peanut butter sandwich is really good too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We believe in
peanut butter.
And we love PB2 there in Tifton, Georgia,
yeah,
you know. Well, I mean, it's not just one thing, Michael, is it? I mean, it's nutrition, it's diet, it's your training, it's your mental capacity, your physical capacity, and your spiritual capacity.
Yeah.
You know what, you know, we're whole beings, mental, physical, spiritual, and you know, so, I mean, we've got a few more minutes here. Let's sum this up. What if there's somebody out here listening today that has been thinking about they wanted to do this? What would you encourage them to do? How would you encourage them to go about training for this or wanting to do this?
The first thing I would say is sign up and figure the rest out. I mean, if you've got to have the willpower and the self-accountability. I know I said that word 10 million times in my training because my self-accountability is what got me through Texas, you know. And not just finishing, but I finished, I PR'd out there for my effort. So I knew that all the training was what returned that to me that day. You know?
Right, right.
But I would say start. Just start. Like, I go back to August, or no, it was actually after August. I could go back in my Garmin Connect app and look, but basically 6 months out, I couldn't run a mile. I couldn't ride my bike 10 miles without just huffing and puffing and blowing up. And definitely couldn't swim even for 100 yards. So there, that's saying, if I can, you can, you know.
If I can interject something,
came a long way.
I mean,
yeah,
you've got to want it, though. I mean, it doesn't just happen for you, you know. And you got to be willing to make that life shift for it.
Well, being there and watching it, first of all, if you've never watched an Ironman competition, you just need to go. It is amazing to watch and experience. It's just like this whole vibe. Like, you're watching all these people and knowing what he went through and watching them, it was just really cool. I mean, we stood at the finish line and people were crossing the finish line and people were crying and cheering them on. And it was just so amazing because, you know, every person that crossed, you know, they just accomplished something that they thought they couldn't do. But that's what really inspired me to get back into running and want to do something because just watching the people there, I was surprised. And I told Michael this. I said, you know, I didn't really see, not that young people don't do it, but I saw people that I know had to have been like maybe in their 70s. I mean, people that, you know, I even joked with his dad. I said, go ahead, Pops, go ahead and do it. Because, yeah. You know, you go there.
Hey, it's doable, man.
You know, I mean, people that I'm just like, man, look at them. And, you know, I mean, as old as I might think that I am, they're much older than me, you know. And
right. That could be so, your parents or grandparents.
Right, my parents right. or grandparents out there. And the majority of the people were probably around our age or maybe older. And I thought, my goodness, like, you know, this is probably a lot of people like me thinking, you know, well, those young days are over. You know, we're not, you know, as fit as we were in our 20s or 30s. So, but that was really inspirational to me. I was like, if they can do it, I can do it.
Well, Michael, we appreciate you coming. You and Lisa, thank you so much for coming and visiting with us and sharing your story with us. We hope that our listeners out there today, you know, became inspired by you, and I'm sure that they will. We had a lot of hits on social media already, and but it's just a great inspirational story, and we're going to keep up with you. Now, when is this next competition, the Double Anvil?
It's in February, I think, the first or second weekend of February of
2024.
And I'm just kind of maintaining right now. I mean, I'm actively going. I rode short of 40 miles a day and swim too. That's maintaining. So
he rode 40 miles.
Where will that be? What city?
Claremont, Florida.
Florida.
Okay. Claremont, Florida.
February 24th.
That 2024. Jim, that Claremont's not that far from here. We might be making a trip down there to watch this, to see this happen.
Sounds like fun.
We want to tell everyone that Jim and I will be June the 10th in Marietta, Georgia at Daniel Stucker's Clash of the Titans. We'll be there promoting our show. We wish Daniel well, and we wish his competitors well. That's our next NPC show coming up here in Georgia. To all those who tuned in today, Ashley Williams, Randy Stokes, all of Mike's family, thank y'all for joining us today. Just a great story. I like the story too that, you know, that y'all met, you know, yeah. and got married. I mean, on the Iron Man, you know, that what a great story. I mean, you need to write a book. You need to write a book, Michael.
She can't blame me for keeping on signing up.
Right? Yeah, that's right. She can't blame you. And Lisa, good luck to you on getting out there and running those 5Ks again.
Thank you.
Great show tonight. Thank y'all again so much.
You're welcome.
Yes. Enjoyed both of y'all. Thank you for being in the studio with us.
Thank Absolutely. And Mike, thank you. Glad you got to see us today, Mike.
Yeah, for sure.
It's been a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Want to remind everyone, keep the faith, love your family, and stay fit.
This is 105.9 WVGA Fit Talk Radio. Bye-bye now.